facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to the show. So glad you're with me today. Guess what? Today is our 100th episode of the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I can't believe it. I don't know what you call the 100th of anything. I was going to call it the centenary, but apparently that's for a 100-year period. And it certainly does not seem like I've been here for 100 years. It's gone by so fast, from 0 to 100 shows. But if you want to call in on this historic occasion, here's the number, 1-888-914-9149. It's toll-free. The call's on me, 1-888-914-9149. Or you can tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. You can hit me up on Twitter. Or you can follow the show account and tweet at that as well. At Cale Clark Show is where to find the show account. And also email. You're going to want to use email, kale@relevantradio.com. That's another way to reach us. And I want to hear from you. What have been some of your favorite moments on the show so far? Your favorite episodes, your favorite guests, your favorite attempts at comedy. And I use the word attempts because it doesn't always work. But yeah, what have you liked about the show? And I can't wait to hear from you. So call in, 1-888-914-9149. Well, it is Thursday, December the 10th. It is another Marian feast day, the Feast of Our Lady of Loreto. So happy feast day, everybody. It's a great Marian week with, of course, Our Lady of Guadalupe coming up on the 12th. We did St. Juan Diego yesterday on the 9th. Great day. And today, of course, is Thursday. And traditionally on Thursdays, we remember, we recall Jesus' institution of the Eucharist, which he, of course, instituted on Holy Thursday. And one, you know, the Eucharist has been obviously taken a lot of different places, has been celebrated in a lot of different settings all over the world. But did you know that Jesus in the Eucharist actually got to go out of this world entirely? That's right. The Eucharist was brought into space, the final frontier.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
Well, it wasn't really on the starship Enterprise, but it was on a SpaceX vessel. And of course, you know about SpaceX, this privately owned space exploration company headed up by Elon Musk, the very colorful entrepreneur. Well, just a few weeks ago, four NASA astronauts made history by launching into space in a capsule built by SpaceX. And it was a 27-hour voyage. So I hope they all liked each other because they were spending a lot of time with each other. 27 hours straight. And they docked at the International Space Station, or the ISS for short. And this actually, they're thinking that this might be the first step towards SpaceX actually launching sort of commercialized space travel. So you too might get to go to the space station one day. Who knows? And one of the guys, one of the NASA astronauts that was on that SpaceX journey is Michael Hopkins. And Michael Hopkins, this is not his first time in space. And in 2013, he did something that no astronaut had ever done before, where he had boldly gone, where no astronaut had ever gone before. He brought along some very precious cargo, someone very precious. He brought our Lord in the Eucharist in a pyx, and of course the pyx is the small container that's used for transporting consecrated hosts. He brought a pyx full of Eucharistic hosts into outer space. Now this was back when he was, there's a lot of partnership between America and Russia when it comes to space exploration. Wasn't always the case, of course. A lot of you probably remember the space race that, you know, started taking place in the 1950s and 60s, great rivals during the Cold War. Who's going to get to the moon first? Who's going to get to space first? Well, these days there's a lot of cooperation. And Michael Hopkins was a member of the expedition crew that also went to the International Space Station back in 2013 aboard a Russian spacecraft. Now, at that time, back in 2013, that's when he first did this. He was a recent convert to the Catholic Church, and he sort of lives in the Houston, Texas area, and his wife is Catholic, their kids are all Catholic, and he started thinking about, oh, maybe I should become Catholic as well. So this is around 2009. He went to approach his parish priest about this, and he said, and his name was Father Skip. He said to Father Skip, "Listen, I'm thinking about becoming Catholic." And Father asked him, "Why?" And he said, "Well, you know, I just want to do it so that we can, you know, go to church together and just worship together as a family and just be more unified in that sense." And Father Skip told him, "Michael, that's not a good reason to become Catholic." And he was kind of taken aback by that. "No, really, the only reason to become Catholic is because you believe it's true. Otherwise, you're doing it for some sort of a human reason, you know." So in his case, you know, so he could feel more unified with his family. And he wasn't really thinking along those lines of examining the truth claims of the faith. Of course, he was a Christian, came from a Protestant background. I believe he was a Presbyterian. But at any rate, that question from Father Skip really took him off guard, and he actually started attending RCIA classes. And because of his astronaut training, he had to do it in kind of piecemeal form. When he was home for furlough from his training, he would meet privately with Father Skip for personal RCIA classes, and eventually he came to believe in the truth of the Catholic faith, the Catholic position, especially on issues like the Eucharist. And he came into the church, and one of the first things that he did was ask if he could get permission to bring the Eucharist with him into outer space. And why did he want to do that? Well, it's not normally done, clearly, but he knew he was going to be there for about 6 months. And he said, "Listen, that's going to be a long, long time for me to not receive the Eucharist." So now, normally, a layperson cannot self-communicate. All right, you can't. You have to be, you know, the priest or bishop has to give you the Eucharist. And that's even true for deacons. Even deacons can't self-communicate. And so he had to get special permission from the diocese, from the Archdiocese of Houston, to take the Eucharist into space. So that's what he did. So he had six consecrated hosts that were divided into four each. So he had 24 opportunities to receive the Eucharist while he was in orbit. And he had to, by the way, he had to get the pics full of the Eucharistic host past the Russians, you know, because they were sort of in charge of what was going to get on their spacecraft. And of course, there's a lot of Russian Orthodox believers. Maybe that helped a little bit. And they're like, yeah. He explained it to them. They're like, yeah, go for it. Not a problem. So he received communion once a week, except for there were a couple of times that he called special occasions. And this is, of course, astronaut Michael Hopkins. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, by the way. It's our 100th episode. So there are a couple of times when at the space station that astronaut Michael Hopkins received communion outside of Sundays. And, you know, he was trying to spread out the hosts, of course. He did two spacewalks. So on the morning of both of those days, before he went out for the spacewalk, he received our Lord in communion. And he said it was really helpful for him to know that Jesus was with him Eucharistically, his presence, before he went out the hatch into the vacuum of outer space. Can you imagine? Now, for Jesus, it's not a big deal. He created space. He created everything. He created all that is. He's the Pantocrator. He's the all-powerful. Yeah, it's not a thing to him. I made space, he says. But of course, for Michael, it was very, very powerful to have our Lord with him. And then he said that he received his last Eucharistic host, his last communion up in space in 2013 when he was in the cupola. He was on orbit in the cupola, which is a very large window in the space station that looks down at planet Earth. Can you imagine? That's just incredible. Receiving the creator of the universe while you're looking down at your home planet. Unreal. And he said, that was a very, very special moment before I came home. So in a sense, while he was in the space station with our Eucharistic Lord, that space station kind of became a monstrance in outer space, right? You know, just encircling planet Earth. Unbelievable. So I thought that was a really, really cool story. Now, he is currently, as I said, on the SpaceX journey. He's docked at the space station. I wanted to actually interview him for the show, but for some reason, I couldn't get through on his cell phone. You know, I don't know. He needs a better plan. He needs the international calling plan, the intergalactic calling plan. That's even better. You know, come on, Michael, get a good plan so I can call you in outer space. Anyways, maybe when he comes back, we can get him on the Cale Clark Show. I thought that was a really, really cool story for starting off this show. And it's just been an out of this world experience for me to be part of the Relevant Radio team. It's been awesome. And you know what today is also? It's interesting because, of course, our Lord instituted the Eucharist during the Passover meal, the Passover celebration, kind of transformed it into the first Mass, the Last Supper, was really the first Mass. And so it became a Eucharistic feast, if you will, from that point on. And today, our Jewish friends, of course, are celebrating Hanukkah, the Feast of Hanukkah. Today is the first day of Hanukkah. And our Lord has something to do with that as well. So I wanted to give you a little bit of background on Hanukkah, and you can call in 1-888-914-9149. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It's our 100th episode. It is quite a milestone. So if you call in today, your voice will be resounding through the halls of history, because no doubt this podcast will be downloaded millions of times. No, I wish, but hey, it's a great chance to get in, and I'd love to talk to you today. But listen, today is, of course, the beginning of the Feast of Hanukkah. Now, a lot of Catholics are familiar with this, of course, because it happens very, very close to the Christmas season. And it happens today. Now, today, and it doesn't always happen on the same calendar day in terms of our own calendar. Today, it's December the 10th. But on the 25th day of the month of Kislev is when Hanukkah begins. And that falls usually late November or sometime in December. And sometimes it overlaps with Christmas a little bit more closely. There have been times when, believe it or not, it's overlapped with American Thanksgiving. But that's not going to happen again for another almost 80,000 years, apparently. And by the way, these months of the Jewish calendar, they go by the lunar calendar, whereas we go by the solar calendar when we count our present months. And Hanukkah was actually the latest Jewish feast to be instituted. It's the most recent Jewish festival. It goes to, now it's still pretty old, it goes to the 2nd century before Christ, 2nd century BC. And how Hanukkah came about is an interesting tale, to be sure. And it started in the year 167 BC, when the Syrian king, the Seleucid king, Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, as he liked to call himself, began to persecute the people of God. Now, in Mark's gospel, there's sort of an interesting allusion to this guy, which a lot of people don't catch. And you can read about this, by the way, in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus stills the storm. And let me just read this to you. This is from Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them, just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" You know, it's kind of interesting how in Mark's gospel, which most scholars think is the first gospel to be written, even though Matthew comes first in your New Testament, that the apostle is saying, you know, do not care if we perish. Don't you care if we're going to die here? You know, it's kind of funny because Matthew kind of cleans that up a bit. He says, you know, Lord, save us, or something like that. That's what the apostles say. So it's a little bit more dignified. But of course, Jesus cares. And it says, he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Now this line, you know, who then is this that even wind and sea obey him? Now that literally was the case when it came to Jesus, but that's kind of an allusion to a well-known blasphemy committed by somebody who also claimed to be God's son, in a sense, someone who claimed to be a divine manifestation. And I'm talking about this Syrian Greek king, Antiochus Epiphanes, who reigned, you know, from about 175 BC until his death in 164 BC. And he was the guy who persecuted around, if you read the books of the Maccabees, his persecutions against the Jews were really what touched off the revolt of the Maccabees. And how God struck him down It's actually pretty gruesome. It was like sort of like a gangrene type disease. And this is actually mentioned in the second book of Maccabees, chapter 9, verse 8. And I'm just going to read this to you. And what this is after the whole, the initial events of the Maccabean revolt. And what he tried to do at this point, Antiochus Epiphanes, and by the way, he called himself Epiphanes, and we know that the word epiphany means divine manifestation. And we celebrate, of course, the Feast of the Epiphany after Christmas. This is when we talk about the Magi visiting the Lord. So here's what it says in 2 Maccabees chapter 9. It says, "The judgment of heaven rode with him, with Antiochus. For in his arrogance, he said, 'When I get there, I will make Jerusalem a cemetery of Jews.' But the all-seeing Lord, the God of Israel, struck him an incurable and unseen blow. As soon as he ceased speaking, he was seized with a pain in his bowels, for which there was no relief, and with sharp internal tortures." That sounds nasty. "And that very justly," the text says, "for he had tortured the bowels of others with many strange inflictions. Yet he did not in any way stop his insolence, but was even more filled with arrogance, breathing fire in his rage against the Jews and giving orders to hasten the journey. And so it came about that he fell out of his chariot as it was rushing along, and the fall was so hard as to torture every limb of his body." Now here's the key line. Listen to this. "Thus he, who had just been thinking that he could command the waves of the sea, in his superhuman arrogance, and imagining that he could weigh the high mountains in a balance, was brought down to earth and carried away in a litter, making the power of God manifest to all. And so the ungodly man's body swarmed with worms, and while he was still living in anguish and pain, his flesh rotted away, and because of his stench, the whole army felt revulsion at his decay." Okay, so I could go on. It's pretty graphic, but you get the point. But the key line here is when the writer says, "Just then, he who had been thinking that he could command the waves of the sea in his superhuman arrogance was brought down to earth and carried away, making the power of God manifest to all." So he thought he was a divine manifestation. God makes his power manifest to him by cutting him down. And now the one who actually could legitimately command the waves of the sea, of course, is Jesus of Nazareth. And that's exactly what happens in Mark chapter 4. Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. He doesn't talk about commanding the sea. Jesus just does it. He just does it, proving that he is the divine Son of God. So that's a little background for you on Antiochus Epiphanes, who in his actions against the Jews really touched off the Maccabean revolt. And this is why we have the Feast of Hanukkah. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this after the break. We're going to take a quick break right now on the Cale Clark Show. It's our 100th episode. Please call in. Tell me what your favorite episode has been, what your favorite moments have been on the show so far. 1-888-914-9149. Be right back.
Faith, so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's our 100th episode of the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Man, I remember episode number one. Seems like just yesterday. But I've still got a long ways to go. Drew Mariani was by after his show. He was in the studio and he was talking to Patrick Alog, who's screening calls for us today. He's like, "Oh, it's Cale's 100th show. Oh, I just did my 3,000-something show." So, yeah, I got a long way to go, Drew, to catch up to you, man. But we'll get there. We'll get there eventually. I'm not going to be able to overtake you, though. I can't run that fast. But anyways, if you want to call in, tell me about your favorite episode of the show so far or what you like about it. We'd love to hear from you. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call on the Cale Clark Show. Or you can tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. You can email the show, kale@relevantradio.com. We're going to go to the phones right now. Actually, Nora is calling from Marina Del Rey, California. Nora, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Kate, I have to say, I am so impressed. I have listened to the shows off and on in the morning, in the afternoon, at night. Different people, yes, I hear Drew Mariani pretty often, and I love that. But your show today was absolutely stunning. I could not do a thing. I stopped and I listened intently to the story of Michael Hopkins. And then you gave all the relevant backgrounds to
Hanukkah.
Celebration of Hanukkah. Yes,
yeah,
that was also amazing. So I just wanted to ask where would I look for more information on Michael Hopkins? It was so impressive that somebody who is an astronaut will take the Lord's
the Eucharist in outer space.
The Eucharist in outer space.
Well, you know what, Nora? Thank you. First of all, thank you very much for your kind words. That's very, very kind of you to say that. And yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about Hanukkah in just a moment here and fill you in on how it connects with Jesus. But yeah, this story about Michael and bringing the Eucharist into outer space. Well, when he gets back from the space station, we're hoping to have him on the program. So we're going to actually reach out to NASA. So say a prayer for us that we'll be able to connect with him. Would love to have him on the show. What an incredible story. Just amazing. And I hadn't even heard about this. My brother-in-law sent me this story, and I was like, wow, just blown away. So I had to talk about it, and I'm so glad that you called in. Thanks for listening, Nora. I really appreciate that. That's Nora in Marina Del Rey, California, listening to the program. And as we were talking about just before the break, yeah, today is the first day of the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. And it's also known as the Festival of Lights. And you will see people with menorahs in their windows. And I actually, the last time I was in Israel leading a pilgrimage group, I was there actually during Hanukkah because we came for an Advent pilgrimage, which was really beautiful. I spoke about this this week on the show, how I was in Bethlehem for the lighting of the Christmas tree in Manger Square. That was really a life-changing event. That was unbelievable. And it starts this year, this 8-day feast on December the 10th, which is today. And as I said, it one time overlapped with Thanksgiving, but that's not going to happen again for another 79,811 years. So, wow, we got a ways to go with that. So let me just give you a little bit of the biblical background again on this. I talked about Antiochus Epiphanes and what a great guy he was, just kidding, and how God, you know, struck him down because of his superhuman arrogance. But in 167 BC, Antiochus IV Epiphanes, who had taken over the region of Judea, began to persecute the Jewish people. He forbade them to practice circumcision. He wanted to make them all like the Greeks. He burned Jewish books, including the sacred scriptures. And of course, as you know, if you read the Maccabean books of the Bible in the Old Testament, he tried to force the Jews to eat foods that were unclean, such as swine's flesh. And we all know the story of the mother and her seven sons who were massacred by these guys for refusing to break the dietary laws of the Jews. And by the way, Jesus, I think, is referencing this too in the background in the Gospels when he talks about, you know, hey, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter life maimed than to, you know, have both hands and go into heaven. Now, he doesn't literally mean, you know, cut your hand off. He's saying deal with sin, you know, as deal with sin very ruthlessly. You've got to cut it off at the root and you've got to avoid it at all costs. But this idea of losing your limbs for the sake of the teaching of God is exactly what happened to the Maccabean martyrs who had their tongues cut out, their hands cut off, and they were tortured in gruesome ways because of their refusal to break the laws of God. Well, the absolute pinnacle of the arrogance of Antiochus happened when he, in a very, to say the least, unkosher, he did something very, very unkosher. He sacrificed a swine on the altar of the temple in Jerusalem. And that was just too much. I mean, it was all too much already, but an elderly priest named Mattathias and his son, one of his sons, Judas Maccabeus, now you know him, his name means the hammer. And he was going to hammer these guys, believe me. By the way, when I went to Israel, there's actually a beer called Maccabee. That you can get a Maccabee beer. So I guess you can get hammered with the hammer. Anyways, no, I'm only kidding. That would involve the sin of drunkenness. We don't want to do that. And I'm not kidding. That is a serious, serious sin. But anyways, Judas Maccabeus, known as the Hammer, he formed a little militia. And first to his father, Mattathias, who is quite old, was leading this rebellion. But after he passed on, Judas took over. And it was basically like a guerrilla war against these occupying, you know, Syrian forces. And eventually this revolt succeeded. And the temple was brought back into Jewish hands. And it was rededicated in the year 164 BC on the 25th day of Kislev, which is today. And this, by the way, the word Hanukkah means dedication. It means dedication, and it refers to the dedication, the rededication of the temple. So the reason why the feast lasts for 8 days is because Judas Maccabeus was taking his cue from King Solomon. When King Solomon set up the first temple in Jerusalem, and by the way, remember, that temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC, and a lot of the people, a lot of the population of Jerusalem was carried off into servitude and slavery in Babylon, in exile. We've talked about this a lot in our sister program, The Faith Explained, because we're going through the book of Revelation and what it has to do with the temple. So you can listen to that every weekday at 12:30 Central on Relevant Radio or download the podcast. And we talked about the first temple, how it was destroyed in 586 BC. And so this temple that's in mind here, that was taken over by Antiochus and recaptured by the Maccabees, this is the second temple. And the second temple is the one that was standing when Jesus was walking the earth. We're going to talk about how Jesus kind of fulfills this feast of Hanukkah in a special way in just a moment. But when Judas Maccabeus rededicated the temple, he noted that King Solomon took 8 days to dedicate the first temple. And that happened during what's now known as the Feast of Tabernacles. But that happens in the Jewish month of Tishri, not in the month of Kislev. And that was 10 months away. And Judas Maccabeus is like, you know what? I'm not waiting 10 months to rededicate the temple. Forget it. So we're going to actually start a brand new festival. And it's sort of an imitation of the original dedication of the temple, the Festival of Tabernacles. And so that's where this Feast of Hanukkah comes from. Solomon also kept the 8 days. That's what it says in 2 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 12. Now, the Talmud, the Jewish Talmud, the rabbis have another tradition to explain why it's 8 days. It's not, you know, in their view, it's not, you know, yeah, maybe it's because of Solomon. Maybe they're both true. It's possible that they're both true. But here's another tradition. You might have heard this one, that when the Jews retook Jerusalem, the Jewish priests, when they were rededicating the temple, they didn't have enough oil to keep the temple menorah lit, you know, the candelabra. And there was only enough sacred oil, and it had to be there's a special way that they had to get the oil for the temple. And so it had to be done in a kosher way. Well, that took a long time to get that oil. So they only had enough oil for 1 day. It would take at least a week to get a fresh supply of holy oil. Yet miraculously, when they lit the menorah, it was only supposed to last for 1 day, but the holy oil lasted for 8 days. And this is one of the reasons why today faithful Jews light the menorah during the 8 days of the festival. Now, a lot of Catholics don't know this background, so they miss something when they read the gospel, because Hanukkah features in, especially in the Gospel of John. And here's where you can find this, by the way, in John's Gospel in chapter 10. That's where you can find it. And starting at verse 22 in John chapter 10. And by the way, Jesus has just healed the man born blind. Keep that in mind. That's in John chapter 9. And what did he say? I am the light of the world. And one of the great signs, the great miracles in John's gospel, all the miracles in John are called signs because they point to something. And they point to the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. He can give us spiritual sight so that we can see what's truly important supernaturally on that level. Natural sight is one thing. Supernatural insight into who Jesus is another matter. that requires the gift of God, the gift of faith. And so Jesus heals the man born blind, and he says, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so what happens after this point? In verse 22 of John 10, it says, it was the feast of the dedication at Jerusalem. And a lot of people miss. That's actually Hanukkah. That's actually Hanukkah, because Hanukkah means dedication. It has to do with this rededication of the temple. And by the way, the temple, was being rebuilt when the Jewish exiles returned from captivity in Babylon. They started to rebuild the temple, in the days of Nehemiah, remember rebuilding the wall and all that sort of stuff. And Herod the Great, he assisted in a huge way with this building project. He wanted it for his own glory, partially. But Herod the Great spared no expense in helping this rebuilding, this refurbishment of the temple, the second temple that was built. And this beautiful structure was what was standing there in Jerusalem when Jesus went there for the feast. And back to John's gospel here, it says, it was winter and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? The Jews answered him, we stone you for no good work, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. And so on this Feast of Hanukkah, as it's kicking off today for our Jewish friends, this is a good passage of Scripture that we need to know about, because it's very interesting that God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man, is walking into the temple. And of course, the true light of the world, this temple light, the candelabra that is lit in the temple, that is only a symbol of the true light of the world, which is God himself. When he says, I and the Father are one, he presents himself in the temple as Israel's God. And that they get it. And one of the reasons why they understand that is because of the significance of the Feast of Hanukkah. They said, we're trying to stone you for blasphemy because you, being a man, make yourself to be God. Well, certainly a man can't become God. That's certainly true. But God can become man. God can do whatever he wants. And he became man in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this is incredible. So that's a little bit of a Catholic link for you for this Feast of Hanukkah. We're celebrating that Jesus is the true light of the world. And John says that at the beginning of his gospel, the true light of the world that enlightens every person was coming into the world. And he did, in the person of Jesus. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call for the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We're going to go to the phones right now. Santiago is calling from California. Santiago, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Cale. Yes, I love your show. My best show that you've had for me was when you had Dr. Holly. I don't remember her last name.
Oh, Holly Ordway.
She spoke about language. Yes, I love that episode because I can speak five languages, pretty conversationally and too fluent. And yeah, and so when she talked about how we use our sentence to detect the data points, mm-hmm. and then to use our imagination to connect the data points, and then from there we can ascertain whether something is true or not. And then she said how we have to bridge the gap between our data points and whether or not something is true. I love that, and I love that show because I think that if we are literate, then we can do a better job of communicating the gospel. So mm-hmm. that's really I love that show. That one. And also, the first week when you were on, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. The first week when you run, in summary, I think instead of hitting it out of the ballpark, you hit it. You hit the puck into the goalie's net. three defenders. So,
thank you.
That you hit it out of the ballpark. But I know that, you know, Canada, hey. so, yes. So hey, you're doing a great job. And I'm a faithful listener.
Oh, thank you very much, Santiago. Well, thank you for listening, Santiago. Thank you for being a faithful listener. Thank you for your very kind words. Yep. Yeah, I guess you could say, you know, I put it top shelf where Mama hides the cookies, you know, on the glove hand side. We try to score, you know, with great shows every day here on the Cale Clark Show. And hey, sometimes I don't get the puck in the net, but most of the time, hopefully, I do. And listen, thank you very much for your words and for listening. And yeah, that episode with Holly Ordway was definitely, I think, one of my favorite episodes, too. That was a fantastic conversation. And if you want to go back through the archives on relevantradio.com, or on the app, or through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download the show from later. All the shows are available about 1 hour after the show. You can download the show as a podcast. So you're going to want to do that. And that episode with Holly Ordway, you can go back through the archives. It is a phenomenal episode. She just did such a great job to talk about apologetics, how to defend the faith using the Christian imagination. And she talked about J.R.R. Tolkien, The Lord of the Rings. And oh man, what a great chat that was. And we definitely want to have her back on the show really, really soon. We got to take a quick break right now on the Cale Clark Show, but call in 1-888-914-9149. It's our 100th episode. I can't believe it. Thanks for joining me, not only today, but all the other days too, and for being a great part of the show. Be right back. The Relevant Radio Studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans is available at relevantradio.com/Forester.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's our 100th episode. Can't believe it. 1-888-914-9149 is the studio number to call if you want to call in. Maybe share your favorite moment from the show so far. 1-888-914-9149. Patrick Alog is standing by to take your call. I got to tell you this, too. A couple days ago, I think all of us were surprised. You know, Pope Francis is certainly a pontiff full of surprises. He proclaimed that this year is now the year of St. Joseph for this 12-month period coming up, starting now. So we want to help you. We at Relevant Radio want to help you to fully experience this year of St. Joseph. And so we're offering you all kinds of resources that can help you grow in your devotion to the adoptive father of our Savior. And, of course, the most chaste spouse of the Blessed Mother. So all you have to do is go to relevantradio.com, or you can use the Relevant Radio app and click on the banner that says Experience the Year of St. Joseph. That's it. And you're going to be able to register, and we will send you a free booklet for the Year of St. Joseph, which includes the seven sorrows and the seven joys of St. Joseph, and also the Holy Father's special prayer to St. Joseph for this year dedicated to him, and much, much more. Also, that's not all. This feels like an infomercial now, but that's not all. You will also receive a monthly spiritual reflection on St. Joseph from Father Rocky and other Relevant Radio voices throughout the year. And many of us have a very, very special devotion to St. Joseph. So those are going to be really, really good to hear too. And when you register, you're going to be able to continue to experience this year of St. Joseph, because we're going to roll out more and more opportunities and resources for you throughout this year. And you will not miss a thing if you register. So you can sign up right now. Don't delay. Click on the banner at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app to experience the Year of St. Joseph. And producer Lucas Holt, I really want to thank you for being my producer for these first 100 shows. It's really been a great journey so far, and I can't wait to see what God has in store for us going forward.
Yeah, man, it's been a lot of fun. Honestly, I can hardly believe that it's been 100 shows. It feels like we just started a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, Cale. Honestly, I love getting to work with you every day. And you know what? I have a little something up my sleeve that I put together. Yeah.
No.
Which I thought, it's lighthearted. It's kind of fun. I put together a little montage. It's about a minute here. I can play it for you. And
sure.
It's a, kind of a collection of calls and shows
okay.
that we've
let's,
done so
let's,
far.
Let's
so.
See what you came up with here.
Here we go.
I don't know, maybe Maverick Mondays. I don't know. Hashtag Maverick Mondays. I don't know. Bernadette is calling from Los Angeles.
Jesus said, whoever is without sin may cast the first stone. Suddenly, a stone came flying overhead, and Jesus said, "Oh, Mom."
Oh, very good, Bernadette. Very good. The Portland Trailblazers are a pretty good team, and in fact, they're playing the Lakers again tonight in Game 2, and I know our call screener, Patrick Alog, is really, really nervous. An archaeological discovery that was just released today.
Lucas and Karen are all over that account, tweeting out incredible things, retweeting things. I should have a disclaimer on that one, you know. These tweets are not necessarily from Cale Clark himself. Stephanie Gray Connors is my guest.
I was thinking this is like the Canadian hour, us two Canadians uniting over the airwaves.
He is hockey's Cinderella man. John Scott is my guest.
And I'm a man of my word, Cale. And so... And I
we're going to go, Phil.
Phil Kessel.
What?
He lined up next to me, and I said, "Phil, I'm sorry, I have to fight you." And so the puck dropped, and away we went.
Really want to get you set up for this Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, how to defend it, how to explain it. We're going to go to Haleen right now, who's calling from San Francisco. Haleen, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am very good, and I would like to thank you. You have the greatest show. Thank you.
Oof. That's very high praise. I don't know if I deserve that.
Okay, Cale, so there it is.
Thanks, Lucas. That was very kind of you to make that up. When did you have time to pull all this together?
I find time here and there. But, you know, I pulled those specific clips because, you know, what we try and do here on the show is we like to bring in the faith and dive deep with our mm-hmm. Catholic faith, but we also like to have a lot of fun.
We do.
And, you know, talk about different things like archaeology, sports, science, so...
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're Catholic, right? Catholic means universal, so we can really, anything's fair game. We can talk about it all in the light of the faith. So that's what we try to do, and that was a lot of fun. That was a walk back memory lane. You know, it's not like I've been here for 100 years. It's only been 100 episodes, but nonetheless, that was a lot of fun. So thank you, Lucas. That was a great treat. I really appreciate
that.
I had to
have the Top Gun music playing underneath
as well. Of course.
Well,
listen, you can be my Rio anytime, and... Should I call you Goose from now on? I'll just call you Goose.
Producer Goose. Just call me Producer Goose.
All right. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. We're going to go back to the phones right now. Jeannie is calling from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Jeannie, welcome to the show. How are you? Jeannie, are you there? Hi, Jeannie.
My favorite part of your show is when Michaela says, "Thank you for listening to my daddy."
That's my favorite part, too.
I'm wishing that you could... I've missed very few of your programs in the afternoon and at night. And my request is that maybe Michaela and her mother and you could say a little prayer some night.
That's a great idea. That is a great idea. And you know what? I think we can make that happen. That my beautiful wife, Patricia, and my daughter, Michaela, we can come on and say a prayer. And we're going to have a hard time, though, because Michaela is a bit of a ham, as you may have noticed. And she has actually called into the program before. And she loves to tell jokes. And one of the things that was in Lucas's little montage there was we had an episode where I think that was probably where the phones were ringing off the hook the most. We asked everybody to call in with their best Catholic jokes. And I'm telling you, Michaela has about... She's got a full stand-up routine going now. She's only four, but some of her jokes are actually pretty good. And she's been wanting to call in and tell them on the air. So we'll have to make that happen, too. And anyways, but I do appreciate you very much, Jeannie. That's a really very nice phone call. And thank you for all the kind words. And thank you for listening. I really appreciate you. That's Jeannie calling from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin.
It.
Okay. Thank you, Jeannie. God bless you. God bless you. And going to pull up Karen Moran here, who's working on social media for the show, as she always does. And you know her very well, of course, as the co-host of the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky that comes on right after Timmery's show. Not too long. You'll have to wait for that this evening, and she'll be with you in person for that. And Karen, what is your favorite moment so far that we've been through together?
Oh my goodness, Cale. I think, you know, first of all, I was going to say that one about Michaela. She took my answer. But everybody loves that. Or all the moms, we must all love that. I think, as I started thinking about my backup answer, I think I liked it when we asked about Thanksgiving foods. It really just touched off. It solidified, you know, what Twitter is really for, and that is to discuss food. And so, you know.
Yeah, got a lot of feedback on that. Yeah,
it really touched a point with everyone. So maybe we need to... you know, bring food into the Catholic conversation every now and then, too.
Absolutely. I couldn't believe the great controversy about whether canned cranberry sauce. Yeah, canned or fresh cranberry sauce. People were, like, ready to fight about this.
Die on that hill, yes.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. But, yeah, no, we'll do that again for sure. Well, listen, we really appreciate you being part of the show, Karen, all the hard work that you do. And Patrick Alog, I don't want to leave you out because you're the man with a couple of phones in his ear all the time, taking our calls. And what has been your favorite moment so far, Patrick?
Well, Cale, this probably shouldn't be a surprise, but when I was thinking about, you know, what are my favorite episodes and stuff, you could my favorite episodes are when you had John Scott, NHL All-Star, and when you had an NBA referee, Steve Javy, as well.
When you
bring in people, you know, from the sports world and talk about their faith, you know, that's just awesome. So when you had those two, you know, guests on, you know, those are my two of my favorite episodes. But it was also pretty cool how you had Michael Barber, I think the day after the Dodgers won the World Series. And that was Providence, because that wasn't scheduled. That wasn't scheduled based on the Dodgers winning or losing or anything like that. So, but yeah, those are my favorite shows.
You know, I wanted to have him on because he's such a passionate Dodgers fan. He's definitely the biggest Dodgers fan that I know. And I knew that this would be like, he'd be in such a great mood, of course, with his Dodgers finally having won the World Series. First time it happened since he was a boy. And yeah, Michael Barber, who works at the Augustine Institute, a theologian, biblical scholar. We had a great show about his book on salvation and what Catholics need to know about that. So that's one, if you're perusing through the archives, that was a great episode too. I really, really enjoyed that one. And I was, yeah, throughout the World Series, I knew I wanted to have him on during the series, but I was like, I got to find the right, you know, if the Dodgers lose it, you know, I didn't want to have him on at the end in case they lost it, you know, but it worked out perfectly. It was the day after they won, and it was a lot of fun. And yeah, we were counting up the episodes. We knew we were getting close to 100, but we actually have done slightly more than 100, technically speaking, because we had one episode that was about 10 minutes long, if you remember that. We had a bit of a technical difficulty, so we had a breakdown with the equipment, and I was only on for about 10 minutes, so we're not really counting that one. And we did have an encore show. The only encore show we've ever done was with John Scott, and that was over the Thanksgiving break. But people loved that episode. That was one of our most popular ones, and that's why we wanted to replay that during the Thanksgiving break. And yeah, Steve Javy, we'll have to have him back on for sure. Former NBA referee, maybe the greatest referee of all time, and he's now a Catholic deacon. Fantastic guest. He was amazing. And Steve, if you're listening, thank you for coming on that time. And you're doing great, great work. Fantastic work as a deacon in Pennsylvania. So wow, lots of great stuff. And what a great show that we've had today so far. Really want to thank everybody who's been listening on Relevant Radio, everybody who's been sending messages and tweeting and interacting with us. Really, this show is about you. So if you have show ideas, things that you'd like us to talk about, things that you'd like us to get to, please do send those messages, send those emails. We do read every one. We can't, unfortunately, just due to the sheer volume, we can't always personally respond, but we do always pray for everybody who sends us a message, whether it's through Twitter, whether it's via email, kale@relevantradio.com, or anybody who calls in. Obviously, we try to get you on the air as much as possible. And we're looking forward to 100 more, 200 more, 300 more, however many, by God's grace, we get to do. And I'm just so thankful to Father Rocky and the crew for bringing me on board on Relevant Radio. And Patrick Madrid, thank you, man. And of course, your producer, Cyrus Simcoe. You guys had a lot to do with me getting my own show. I guest hosted for Patrick Madrid back in May, and that's really what got all this started. And so thank you, Patrick. God bless you. And thanks for all the good work that you and Cyrus are doing in the mornings on the Patrick Madrid Show. What a great team we have here. I feel like I'm part of the Justice League. You know, this is just awesome. We've got our wonderful producer, Lucas Holt. He's a real superhero to me. Keeps the show running on time. Keeps the trains running on time. Patrick Alog screening the calls. Karen Moran working social media. It's a dream team. And you're part of it, too. Thanks for being with us. See you next time. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.